Ladies and gentlemen, we've reconvened the steering committee. We're back. This is a CDC-approved, coronavirus-safe steering committee podcast. Ryan and I are sitting 6.5 feet apart from each other.
So. Yeah, which we don't usually actually sit closer than that.
Yeah, it's actually we've actually been in compliance with this since the beginning. So we're ahead of the curve.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's coronavirus edition. I was going to call it, but that sounds like a trim level.
Yeah.
It's sort of like somewhere between the DX and the LX.
The
coronavirus.
Obviously, it sounds like the beer, but if it wasn't the beer, then it would sound like a Ford car from the 70s.
Yeah, maybe a Toyota, like a JDM Toyota.
Oh, yeah, it could be
that.
The Corolla and then the Corona.
Yeah, and then the, yeah.
But, I was thinking the Granada and then the Corolla.
Well, there's the Granada.
Or the Corona,
yeah. Which also sounds like it could be a beer or a country or
I know we could switch out the Granada, that could be the beer now.
Yeah,
Corona's gonna have to rebrand.
Well, we'll see. We are drinking
the beer, not
for
Corona,
our health.
Though. Yeah, we're not gonna get Corona,
it's
non Corona beer.
It is weird out there. I drove recording at Doug's place tonight, and there isn't much traffic.
Yeah,
you know, driving's okay, you can drive.
That's a social
distancing. That's something you can do
if you're in your car by yourself. Yeah, that's social distancing.
I'm hoping for some nice open roads tomorrow.
I think you'll be pleasant as well. We are recording from my house, which I think might be the first time we've done this.
It's been a while. The lure of Ryan's basement is just too great
sometimes. But I live on a busier road right here, and it's been eerie because it's been pretty quiet even during rush hour in the morning. That's where it's
kind of nice.
Yeah, it's actually nice.
It's so, kind of like the
it's kind of like if we just bought a house on a nicer street, temporary upgrade. So, or maybe like in the future.
He lives on a plenty nice street, by the way.
Yeah.
What's up with the neighbor with those
with the
bright
light?
Pink lights?
I don't know.
Does that symbolize something? What is that? Is that what the party is?
Don't know. As you can see, he has a red light on the front of his house on that lamp out there by the sidewalk.
I'm talking about the other end of the block.
I know. Oh. I just noticed that tonight.
Oh, okay.
As I was bringing something to the recycling, I noticed that like one of his, I think it's his office, has a red light in it. So
I
don't know what that's all about. No. I'll have to ask him when I see him. So.
Live on the same street as the House of Ill Repute, apparently. So
apparently, this is a red
maybe it is a shady area.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, things went south quickly.
That's right. As soon as you guys moved in.
Yeah.
No, kidding.
Or because of the coronavirus here.
Maybe it wards off.
Maybe he's an attorney, so I don't think I don't necessarily think it's.
So he's not a medical expert.
He's not a medical expert.
Okay.
Right now, so,
okay.
Yeah.
But it is kind of nice. It's kind of quiet. I was just in Louisville last weekend or last week for work. What a pleasant community Louisville is. Shout out to, Louisville's nice. Like, it's sort of everything that Denver isn't. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like the airport is super small and calm and there's not a lot of traffic, right?
The airport's close to the city.
It is. It's right near the downtown. There's no 45-minute on a good day drive home, even though we both live in Denver proper.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a good trip when I was picked up at 1 in the morning on my flight in by shout out to Nash, my Lyft driver, who had a very well-kept red Volkswagen GTI, wait for it, manual.
Nice.
I think it's the first time I've been in a manual Lyft car. Even got to sit in the front seat. I was impressed with just the fact that it was a manual, but just how nice the car was. And I don't know if I gave Nash one of our cards, but I told him about the podcast. And so Nash, on the off chance that you're listening,
hope you're in
a nice car. And I was impressed with that car. I don't know if I've ever been in, I don't know if that was the newest generation GTR, maybe the one before.
Uh-huh.
It was late and I was tired, but, it was a really nice looking car in red and just very solid, and I think he said it had 50 or 60,000 miles on it. The car felt like brand new, no rattles, very impressed. And so,
I've test driven the last GTI. There's a new Rabbit that's about to be, or a new.
This was not that, but
and then the GTI will follow within a year.
Okay.
So it was like a 1 year.
This was
so I've been in the most recent generation,
maybe 4 years old or something.
That's probably the most, I think the most recent one, don't quote me on it, but I think it's like 12 or 13 to present.
Okay, so. Yeah. And I want to say what you said it was a 13 or 14. Really yeah. nice, a nice.
They're really cars, nice. Yeah. I mean, if you drive one, you're going to probably
be. I know, it was very Audi-like. And you know, as we've talked about, I've got a Tiguan, 2017 Tiguan Volkswagen daily driver. And I think they share the engine, or at least most of the engine. But this was much more upscale seeming.
Yeah.
Just the shut of the doors, there's a firmness to it and a solidity that
it's almost like if Porsche decided they were going to build a
four-wheel
drive,
it really, Hatch, it really,
this is what they would probably.
Well, build. According to our last guest, Andy Daly, there is that, you know, the first Golf sort of replaced what would have been the Volkswagen 924. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But it was good to have Andy on. He was a good.
He was a great guest.
A great guest. Yeah.
A lot of compliments on that.
Yeah, we'll have you on again, Andy, and hopefully in person. We're not trying to patch together a conference call and all the rest. But
we'll drink some French beers and we'll talk about French cars. After that episode, I realized I had like so many more questions for him.
Yeah, I do too. That was I think we're just. More worried about the technical aspect of making it happen, and there were some questions I didn't get to, but speaking of France, so there's French influence in Louisville, right? I mean, the name, right? Louisville?
I guess that's true.
But I do have to give just another nod. I was there with a group of coworkers who are awesome. And I was pleasantly surprised to hear that at least one in the group listens to our podcast.
Yeah.
And I was also pleasantly surprised to hear about a couple cars in the group. Everyone in the group had a nice car and they told me about it. But the two that stood out was I have a coworker that's got an A3 Cabriolet, which is cool. I mean, you just don't see those often.
I like that.
And A3 a lot. And then my boss, my colleague who I report to, drives a 3 Series wagon.
Yeah.
I asked her if it was brown with a stick, and I don't think it was, I don't think it is. But
she didn't get the reference.
She didn't think that was an odd question.
What are you working with? Recent 3 Series convertible?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe a couple years old is the impression I got. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so pleasantly surprised. Cars. Now, if it had been a sedan, it wouldn't have been as cool.
Well, I'm even happier to hear that. If you had said, like, you know, one of them drove like a 911 GTS, I would actually, more excited about, and I think you do have someone who does drive.
Yeah, and that's someone I work with directly, but
I'm actually more, in some ways, the BMW station wagon.
So Jenna, kudos to you and Molly, and actually, and Jenna and Lee Ellen, who are the other two in the group, too, also have cool cars, but not sports cars. So, honorable mention to them, but
there's nothing wrong with GTS, but a BMW station wagon is a very specific choice.
I wish I was driving that every day.
I still look at those things every day.
She did say, and I'll stop talking about you, Jenna, but she bought it at Carvana, she said, and I've never actually talked to anyone. I don't know that we have a Carvana here, do we?
Every time I look for cars on Auto Tempest, they're like the first 17 versions.
Because they'll ship them to you, right?
Because they're like, they can be from anywhere. So
she apparently,
I don't know if we have a physical location.
No, okay. Apparently they do where they are. And she said that she dropped the big coin into the vending machine, but asked, does this really work or is this just sort of, you know, for show, and confirmed her fears and her suspicions and that it was just for show.
Does an actual person actually...
Yeah, there goes the Carvana sponsorship. Anyway, kind of cool. It's always, I think it's so telling, you know, when people say what they drive, and I'm always a little hesitant to tell people, at least to have a couple drinks in me, but... it's all cars all the time.
Well, yeah, and you're like, you don't want to go down this road.
No.
I do have a question. I'm going to go in this direction. So, like, do you have any, like, you don't have any, like, shame by telling people, like, you have a Porsche, do you?
I have the poor man's Porsche.
Fair enough, people don't know that if you say like, well, you know, to answer your question, I drive a Porsche Cayman, they won't know that it's like the base level unless you tell them.
Well, that's right. Usually people, when they say when I say Cayman, they think a Cayenne, think SUV. That's just what people which is very telling too. That's sort of what the general population thinks of. I mean, the Cayman sells in such small quantities, and you know, probably see 10 Cayennes for every Cayman. I gotta come back to the talk about single digit sports car sales when we get on to the next story, I'm always a little hesitant. I'm not an orthodontist or an anesthesiologist, or maybe where there are more,
or a lawyer.
Although I do have a surprising number of people who have cool cars, apparently, including a couple of Porsches, a 911 GTS, and some others. So I'm always surprised, but it's not something I would advertise. Sometimes I can't help but steer the conversation there. What about you? I mean, because...
I don't own a Porsche. I never have, so I've never had this problem.
And yet I still hang out with you.
I'm still allowed to. And I'm still allowed in the Colorado Bar Association, even though I don't have a, Porsche. But I've noticed that we a few months back, we had my friend Will on the show. He's now on his third Porsche. And I've noticed at times that he's been like... people who are not really car people will find out that he has a Porsche. This is going back to even when he had his old one. It was almost like he had to be like, but don't worry, it's like an old one. I'm not big shot. I just always like these cars. I wondered if there was like a little of like, oh, I don't want to come across as like,
I have said that, because I had an 05 before, which is arguably a neater car than the one I have now. But that was always the second phrase out of my mouth. Well, it's an old one. I had to somehow discount or justify. And now with this new one, it's like, well, it's the cheap one or whatever. Yeah. It's just, I automatically say it.
And so I've never had one, but I absolutely, if I had one, I feel like I would be in the same position. I would be like, it's just an old one that I picked up. It was beat up or something, kind of thing.
But then I hang out with some of these car guys I know, and I have to apologize for not having a GT car. It goes both ways, right? It's never, grass is always greener or whatever.
You're never just happy with
the No, there's a lesson there. And now that the world is ending, we all have to learn to love what we have.
We're just dropping truth bombs out there now since it's about to get real in here. That's interesting. So anything else interesting in terms of like Louisville?
Well, the roads are really good.
Yeah,
people are generally, there's a geniality, a congeniality, a friendliness. There's a real, talk about the difference between the sizes of the city. The cities are almost exactly the same size. It's very different, a lot more trees, kind of city of neighborhoods, older stuff. Very different feel, but good roads, very pretty. I imagine there's some really great country roads, although I didn't get out too much. But you know what? We've got some mighty fine roads here too,
I think we're in good shape.
I think Louisville is really, I think that's gonna be the next Nashville. It's really gonna blow up. I think it's got everything going for it. Our real estate's pretty reasonable still. So I'll pack up and move to.
Bourbon
till you can't stand it anymore.
You're gonna move to Louisville. Start doing this remotely.
It'd be really tough to give up my roads here. Speaking of, been out driving anything?
So I guess I have. So since our last episode, I've driven three different versions of the 86.
Really?
Driven. 2013 that had about 18,000 miles on it, and that was a good example of one that it's almost like as close as I could possibly get it to if I bought it new in 2013.
What color is that one?
It's interesting. It's like kind of that purple blue. It's not that World Rally blue that you see a lot. Like a darker, like I said, almost like a purple hue to it.
Is that a color you consider?
I like it in real life, more
blue than purple.
It's not overly purple. It's not that lighter sort of World Rally or Smurf blue. It's got like a darker hue to it.
I see those as purple like GT3 RSs once in a while, or a couple in town. It's that sort of plum color, as much as I love the car, I don't know if I could do that.
That's like real purple.
This is more of a royal blue, right? Or a darker, richer.
A royal blue, with just a fleck of purple or whatever. But it's a good looking car.
Low mileage, very low mileage. Yeah. And that's fewer miles than I've got on my 17. So Blue, and then two others.
Yeah, yeah. So the only thing I thought that was slightly interesting about that, that even worth noting. So it felt brand new. It felt tight. I'd buy it in a, you know, in a heartbeat. It's priced at just under 18,000.
Seems like a lot of car for the money.
17,500-ish. I bet you a couple thousand off of that.
Sure.
But had a in the back in the trunk. It had a Scion. Carpet thing in the back.
Okay.
You know, trunk area. Yeah. So I guess, I don't know, something happened to the one he had, he replaced it, I guess.
I think I'd say there was a sweet kicker box or something.
No, honestly.
Some bazooka tubes.
It looked completely
sick. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool.
It hadn't been touched at all, so. Probably one that was bought by an older driver.
Sure.
Second or third car.
Well, wow, that's very much, so few miles, but.
Yeah.
And then tell me about the others.
Then I drove a white 2014, I think.
Yeah.
That had just come in from trade. It was a little rough. At first they actually told me I wouldn't be able to drive it because they were like working on it.
Yeah.
And then they talked to the shop and realized that, you know, it was in driving condition. So they could actually let me drive it. Looked like it had a smoked out rear taillights.
Yeah.
and
never a good look.
Matte on it, had like a wrap on the wheels. Yeah.
Just so, pro tip.
Yeah.
You might not want to cover your brake lights.
I know. Well, it's like, well, and they were peeling off, so it's like, you could look at it, and I was like, well, they're smoked out, like they're definitely starting to peel off. And it really got me thinking about the person who traded it in, because they said it was a trade in, and I was just like, they didn't even want to run it through the car wash. Like, it was a mess too. It was like, it was dirty. Like,
You wonder what they bought, but.
Well, it really makes you wonder if they, like, you know, couldn't take care of it. And they just had they had to trade it in doing something cheaper or something.
That happens.
I hope it wasn't like, if it was truly something that was like repossessed and then sold at auction, I would hope that they would say that. They kept saying it was just recently traded in, but I don't know. Like, someone was like, I think someone was hard up to sell it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they just realized that, you know, if you wash the car, you know, they're never going to give you more money. They just do a basic year. They do a year mileage calculation, and then they come up with a number.
Yeah.
But I drove it. I thought mechanically it was fine, but nothing special. I mean, but, you know, again, it reminded me that I liked the car. And then I was driving home, actually, from that exact test drive.
Yeah.
The white one. I drove by a used car dealership that's near my house here, and I always check their website. They sometimes have interesting things. I bought two cars from them. I bought my WRX from them.
Yeah.
I bought my Sequoia from them.
Another place?
Cherry Creek Auto. Shout out to Justin and Chad over there. They've been very patient and happy with me. They let me test drive a bunch of stuff.
Anything
interesting there, I always go test drive it because it's so close.
Yeah,
so
I think that deserves a sponsorship.
Absolutely. So get in touch with me, Justin. We'll shout you out at the beginning of the episode. I've test driven a few minis over there. Test drove a couple of more family oriented cars when we were deciding which to get. So, but as I was driving by, you know, I almost like did a panic stop because I look over real quick and they had a recent Toyota 86. And I swear I had been checking the website the day. It wasn't there the day before. So I jumped in it. It was a 2019 Toyota 86 TRD edition.
Ah, okay.
So the TRD basically has. In 2017, the BRZ was available with, the Brembo brakes, the performance pack, the sack dampeners, the extra boost in the engine, about five horsepower.
When we say boost,
let's
establish that is not a forced induction engine.
It's still a natural
aspirated. But maybe there's a little bit of higher of a.
It's a slight increase over the slight power plant that it has from being. So it's 200 horsepower.
Right.
Normally, these ones have 205.
So, right. Okay.
Just decided to go ahead and, well, what the hell? Yeah. Like, let me try one with all the goodies on it and see if that's worth it. And as I was driving it around, same thing. I mean, the power delivery felt exactly the same.
Yeah.
This one had a nice interior, although I didn't love. If you look at it, you see it has these, this kind of like throwback decals on the outside.
Okay.
It's like a long, basically, sort of sticker on the side with like a yellow, red, and black, I think, like sort of like decal on the outside. It's a little loud for me.
Yeah.
And it continues
on. Oh, it'll fade, don't worry.
Well, I just looked at it, I was like, I might just take that off.
Yeah.
And then you probably immediately decrease the value of it.
That's right. So 40 years when it's on Bring a Trailer, you just
lost. Well, so in my head, this is what I thought, is that I would probably go ahead and just order new decals now.
Right.
Take the ones off that are on it and just keep those with the car.
This is why the man's an attorney.
Yeah, that's what I thought I was doing. But I
life is a game of chess.
And then, but I was kind of thinking as I was driving it, I was like, the BRZ in general is a pretty, I would say it's a bit of a harsh ride. You kind of feel every bump as you're driving one of the older ones. And this one, it was like, oh, this is kind of smooth. And I was kind of thinking like, it kind of feels a little lazy to me.
Really?
I don't know. And then to test it out, I went in, I just turned it in hard.
Yeah.
And it just it dug right in.
Did it
and turned. I mean, it just darted left and right. So I would say with those later ones with the performance package, it's a more supple ride, but it's just as sharp.
And don't they have the Michelin P4Ss on them?
I think they do.
And that's that's the single best thing you can do to your car. Yeah. I mean, I've had those now in three cars or the predecessor, the Super Sports, and nothing will transform a car.
Yeah.
Even, we've talked about this before, even on my 718, as soon as I could, I replaced the factory Pirelli P0s I could, because they just absolutely transformed the car.
Yeah.
But we're at 20 minutes. We should pause.
Yeah, so we're going to leave you on a cliffhanger here.
It's about to get good.
It's about to get good here. I think we have, I've been talking about this BRZ 86, but now we can finally get a second opinion on
it. Yes, we can.
So we will stay tuned for the next segment.
Be back.
We are back in recording.
Yeah.
So we left our audience.
I've never done this before.
Yeah, that was the first cliffhanger. You know.
So
the mid-season finale.
That's right.
So I as our audience may or may not know, I've test driven every 86. Every variant of it, every iteration.
The mountain time zone here.
Yeah, Scion to BRZ to 86 to whatever.
Yeah.
But and I've been talking them up a lot, but I've always been interested to find out what my co-host thought of them.
Yes.
So,
yes. And it's always tough to. I don't know. It's you don't just drop in and test drive a car, apparently. You've got to sit down at the desk and fill out paperwork.
You have to give away a lot of information.
And I've been spoiled by, hanging out at the Porsche dealership, and any listener would know I'm there a lot, getting my accelerator pedals replaced.
Yeah.
But, other cars are Volkswagen. And so the Volkswagen dealership is pretty decent, too. And so... I guess what I'm getting at is I haven't been into a Subaru dealership maybe ever in my life.
Okay.
And it was actually a pretty decent place, but it was a little more of a, we're going to sell you a car, we talked about this before we went on air, sort of, there's definitely a script, right? Like, you've got to sit down, what are you looking for? We don't negotiate here, all this.
Did they ask you if you were trading anything?
No. I think he just saw through my lies, honestly. But, and he was a very nice guy. And, I'm an influencer, right? If nothing else, right? Because not only do we want to talk about this, and we want to talk about it for a long time, but you wanted my two cents because I'm a car guy, and is this a move for me? And so I drove the white car,
same white one.
I don't want to call it the number two car, but it was the second car you talked about.
Yeah, so the white 2014, I think.
Yeah. So I think it was about 52,000 miles.
Yep.
When I drove it, the smoked tail lens stickers, whatever, had been removed and cleaned up a little bit.
I looked at it online. It's been cleaned up a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
They cleaned the engine bay.
You could tell it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was abused, but it was definitely daily driven and kind of put away wet. Mm-hmm. You've noticed there's such a narrow band of prices on these. You might as well get the best one you could find.
Yeah.
That was a fair price, but not a great price. Okay. So impressions.
Yeah.
So this car had an aftermarket exhaust.
Yes.
As well, brand I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
Suspiciously quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of the least.
Maybe my car is just really loud, but I have the quiet exhaust. So.
Well, aftermarket exhausts on a Porsche are a different beast. There's a lot of aftermarket exhausts for BRZs and WRXs that are terrible.
Do you think this is maybe even more of an appearance type, bigger,
because it didn't
tips or something?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. It looked better than some, but not as good as,
yeah,
as
I. Yeah, as I mean, they weren't quite, so. You know, the, what's the term, the fart can look.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were definitely larger. I mean,
some just look like it's just ducting that just kind of
stops. Yeah, maybe like, that's what
like
I was. That.
This looks a little more finished than that, but not as good as the factory.
I expected to turn the key and thought I was going to, you know, wake up the neighborhood, and it didn't. But so, yeah, so first impressions. Sorry, we're gonna get a little into the weeds here, but this is a car that you are seriously considering buying, and at least on paper is in the same category as my fun car. Mm-hmm. So okay, I'm gonna start with the bad, and I'll get into the good. There is no way that car feels like 200 horsepower.
Yeah.
Now I know it probably makes this 200 horsepower at a very small peak or something, but our Tiguan is 200 horsepower. I had an Audi A4 one time with a 6 that was 200 horsepower, about 190. You know, I came from a, you know, I had a Honda Fit, a manual Honda Fit for a while that didn't really seem much slower than this car, and that supposedly had about 114 or 120 horsepower. I was really, really surprised at how slow it felt. And I had to laugh because, yeah, I've read all the articles. This car, it's been on my radar for a long time. I've never really looked to buy one, but I've always appreciated it, that it exists.
Yeah.
I've always, you know, any sports car, you know, manual, rear-wheel drive, you know, I mean, hey.
Hats off.
That's, points in my book, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But 200 horsepower, so I had an idea going in of what 200 horsepower should feel like. And this car didn't feel, now we've talked about we're at altitude, even Denver's at 5,280 feet, give or take, you know, we're Mile High City. So, I mean, we've run the numbers before, but like Denver compared to say a city like Miami, that's basically at sea level. What did we determine that we were losing about,
I want to say
20% or something horsepower. Is that what it was?
Well, I always thought there was 20% was always the number they used for like drivetrain loss.
Okay. I think it's 3% every 1,000 feet. Yeah. So maybe it's 16-17%.
Yeah.
So now keeping that in mind, I think it would feel a little peppier. But what really surprised me is, to me, when I was driving it, the car felt like it was pretty linear. Like it never, you never hit, you know, the VTEC never kicked in, the VVTI, the, you know, there was never that bump at the high, you know, at half, you know, 4,500 RPM or what have you. It was, now.
So there was no kick up, but was there like a big trough at all?
So that's interesting. I didn't notice that when I drove it, but I've since listened to and watched and read a couple of reviews and you know, Car and Driver wrote, I think Matt Farah had an article, one of the newer ones, Road and Track, maybe a couple, 3 years ago. And he talks about, there's sort of this, there are multiple dips and gains.
Yeah.
And so it maybe even sort of this, like you said, a trough in the middle, which is the opposite of a lot of cars. I didn't sense that. It didn't have that zing that I was expecting. It's such a light car. It didn't feel as light on its feet. I think part of it was the, you know, I mean, I've got a lot of time behind the wheel of a Lotus Elise. That has 190 horsepower. And yes, it's 600 pounds lighter, but that car seems like an absolute rocket compared to the BRZ, you know. And I really wanted to love the car. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I was let down by the, and I don't need a fast car, but it didn't feel like 200 horsepower. If they had said that car was 150 horsepower or 140 horsepower, I would not have been disappointed in the least, because that's what it felt like mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. So not only is it just has a very different dyno chart or whatever you want to power up. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that it sounded rough or harsh. In fact, I thought it was a pretty smooth feeling in the seeming engine, which isn't what some of the reviews I've listened to said. Now, get that out of the way, and the fact that I think there was some vape funkiness latent in the interior, you know, and it wasn't. I like a car to be you know, close to perfect. I don't mind some honest wear, but I like a, you know,
yeah.
I like a car that hasn't been smoked in or,
you know. I didn't notice the vaping.
Or maybe it was just they had cleaned it, run it through, you know, their detail, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and it was maybe just some funky air freshener, you know, yeah. like that, yeah. you know, the smell.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
There was an odor of some
origin. Yeah, origin. Yeah. Which you know, sometimes you get a rental car, it has it smell. Just like, unless it really smells bad, I just don't put anything there, right? Now, get past that in that it was shockingly slow. And I was ready to give it every benefit of the doubt. I was ready to, you know, back this car up for, okay, shockingly slow is harsh. But yeah. I guess what surprised me is I've read reviews and they're ringing out 0 to 60 times of 6.4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I got back in my Tiguan with an automatic and, you know, but a turbo four that makes similar power that, you know, on paper, I think is probably in the mid sevens on a good day. So a good full second slower. And it felt quicker. I have to say, you're going to think I hated that car and it didn't. I love the car. Mm-hmm. I just, that's a big...
It is. I mean, it's, yeah, we're not breaking any news here. It's definitely the one thing that truly prevents it from being one of the all time greats.
It felt like a 10 second to 60 car, honestly. And now I know part of that's the altitude. Now, everything else about the car was awesome. Mm-hmm. The car had 52,000 probably rough miles on it.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a rattle. There wasn't there were no weird noises. I mean, shoot, my, you know, 2-3-year-old, you know, Cayman with 17,000 miles on it, you know, you hear the hatchback rattle, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently there's a fix for that. It's just the rubber on rubber or whatever. Yeah. But this car felt every bit as solid as my Porsche. It really did. The seats were, I think, probably more heavily bolstered than the sport seats in my Cayman, which was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", 6'4", probably 250 pounds. And I was sort of at its limits. It definitely felt a little tighter in a lot of ways than my Cayman, especially headroom.
Yeah.
But every other dimension was pretty reasonable.
I mean, it's a small car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think at your height, you're probably like you'd be in the situation of like having legless children sitting in the back.
Yeah. Basically. I had the seat pushed back, but yeah. I mean, I think I've got it.
But you're able to fit in and fit comfortably.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't want to be any fatter or taller, but I mean, it wasn't any smaller than a Miata.
Have you ever done
an AMA? Yeah. You know, I've got, my dad's had a couple of NA Miatas.
Yeah.
And I've never had an issue. But I hear that the NBs are a little tighter. And I hear that some of the newer ones, the NDs are actually quite a bit bigger. But I mean, for what it is, I like a small car. It wouldn't be a deal killer for me. Some of the finishes, I mean, there was some delamination going on in the little hood in the dashboard.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling this car was probably, it wasn't garaged or, you know, or sat out a lot or whatever.
Yeah.
But to its credit, it was so solid. And so, it had some, I'm not real familiar with Firestone tires. I'm a Michelin guy through and through, or maybe Continental a little bit. But this definitely had some performance tires that were, I'm sure, stickier and better than the, what do they call them, the quote-unquote Prius tires that come on it.
Yeah.
Sorry, just the stream of consciousness here, while it's still fresh in my mind. This was about 24 hours ago I drove this. What else? Brakes were good. I thought the brakes, this just had the standard brakes. I thought they were, you know, at least around town, felt about as good as the brakes in my Cayman. No, I don't know how well they'd hold up this is a car that's even lighter and smaller than my Cayman. So
I was going to ask that. So we figured the BRZs are about 2,700 to 2,800 pounds.
Yeah.
What is
your I think I'm about 29 and change. And now I think if I had a PDK, now I've got a manual transmission, I think a PDK would get it right at about 3,000, maybe even 3,050. I think it adds 80 pounds or 90 pounds. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that my car comes in under 3,000, maybe 2,950 or 2,930 or something. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously much more. Much higher horsepower, so better power to weight ratio.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, on paper, there's only 100 horsepower gulf between these cars, and
yeah,
Okay, yeah. Now you can argue it's a turbo, so it's better at altitude, that you get that power over a wider span.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, it's pretty, I think, pretty well decided that my car's probably putting out about 50 horsepower more than what they claim. But but it felt...
It's their numbers are probably at, like, you know, as it's driving over the Midland Pass. And on
right.
The air conditioning blasting.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Well, we've talked about that before. Yeah. I had a 911, a Carrera S, and 997. That was, on paper, 355 horsepower, but a naturally aspirated car. I believe that this car here in Denver is a quicker car in a straight line.
Yeah.
You know, the Cayman. So,
yeah.
So, you know, horsepower is not equal. And, you know, it's like the argument of the Mustang horsepower versus some of the European horsepower or whatever. But,
Ryan recently found out that the rental car Mustang that he had was a potent street weapon with 460 horsepower.
Although
he never felt overwhelmed by it.
No. I mean, that was a fun car. It's just a different feel, right? Yeah. It's just a different, like, I've driven Miatas. I've driven NA Miatas, and they never struck me as slow. This car is the BRZ is a faster car, but yet it didn't feel faster. Now, for my purposes with a sports car, and I think what you're envisioning your sports car being was a canyon car or a weekend car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I try to keep the speed low, you know, on the highway getting to the canyons anyway, because that's where the cop's going to be. That's where...
Yeah.
The dynamics of the car were phenomenal from what I could...
Yeah, talk about that. That's sure, what I sure. So, yeah, what are your handling... I know it wasn't... You obviously didn't have to take it on an Alpine handling course, but, you know, I mean, what's your take on the way it handles?
I wanted nothing more than to take that car up to the canyons on a road that I know well and just fling it around. I think it would be an amazing car to really learn performance driving on, because I think it would be hard to get into trouble with this car.
Yeah.
It has plenty of brakes, so you're not going to get into trouble there. You know, so many cars, I feel like, especially tuned cars, are so fast and the brakes, you know, aren't brought up to the same level, right?
Yeah.
You know, it imparted a sense of security, right? Because it was so solid, it felt planted.
Yeah.
I took it out for 40 minutes with the salesman, and, you know, the fastest, most aggressive I got was on an on-ramp. But the steering was really excellent. The steering was, I don't want to forget that, because the steering was, I think, every bit as good as on my Cayman, at least around town.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, just the Cayman being so neutral, if this car would push or whatever in the corners, you know, the BRZ, but brakes very competent, steering was great, felt planted. It really was harsh over big bumps, but I thought fairly compliant over small stuff, which is kind of the opposite of my car. And maybe the SOX equipped version of the BRZ is more like my car, where it's plusher than the big stuff and a little harsher on the soft stuff. Or would you say the opposite?
I would say I'd want to really make go back and make sure I understand. Yeah. I would say it's definitely plusher over the big stuff, and I think just plusher in general. But then you go to turn in, and it just, you get that sharp turn in.
Yeah.
Right. It's almost like you get surprised again.
Yeah.
Whereas in the ones without it, but with the original setup on it, you're basically just like constantly reminded that it's a stiff car, because you're like, you know, you're kind of feeling everything.
Yeah.
Feeling everything. So you know when you go to turn in, oh, now I'm going to get that great turn in.
Right.
But like the other car just sort of lulls you into that, maybe the Cayman does that too.
It's just so neutral. It's hard, you know, it's like, it's such an easy car to, you know, it's sometimes I miss having the 911 with there's a little more technique to it or whatever, but, you know, it's, yeah, the Cayman is just so good. Like, it's hard to, compare.
I mean, I know people say that it's like, you know, oh yeah, you know, the 911 is really, it's so rewarding because when you do something right and it, you know, you did it because it's like hard to do it. But I mean, you never get bored with a car that handles perfectly.
No, you really
just
don't.
You just enjoy it. Yeah. You enjoy every turn you do with it. So.
And I'm comfortable in that car. I've got 17,000 miles in it now. And you know, the BRZ, I think, is probably capable of so much more than what I did in my short drive course. But I would love to have them for a weekend, and I would love to take it onto a road that I know well, and really, I know it's got different driving characteristics. Easier to get the tail out. I think it would be, it's a little more of, well, it's a front engine car, but, I thought it had a pretty good gearbox. I actually thought the gearbox was similar in feel to the Cayman. You know, it wasn't a super short travel gearbox. The clutch was very different. I remember driving when you had your WRX, your late model WRX, and thinking how short the travel was and how light it was. I thought that this clutch in the BRZ was longer and heavier, more like my Cayman, but completely different in that the clutch take-up was at the bottom of the travel. And in my Cayman, and pretty much every Porsche I've driven for whatever reason, I think the take-up is up, or you know, is up higher, you know, almost in the return. You know, the pedals had these metal covers on them, which my feet were sliding around. I think the metal covers on my 997 that were part of a package, but I have just the rubber pedals now, and I appreciate, I'm just used to them.
I haven't looked at them closely, but from my inspection from sitting up in the seat, it looks like they're the same pedals that were on my WRX.
Oh, okay.
You just get used to them. Yeah, they're metal with like rubber,
rubber
grip pieces, round rubber, you know, sort of grip pieces on it. And I get used to them, but like, you know, I think rubbers overall, I think it's probably better. I think these look cooler.
They do,
The rubber ones are better for driving.
They're nicely spaced. I mean, they were, I think, maybe even a little closer together than the ones in my Cayman. And I've got big feet, but I got used to it. I really like the car. You know, I would absolutely approve purchase of one of these, and I think I look forward to driving it if you do.
I think
that could keep up with a lot of more powerful cars in the Canyons.
Just I think once it gets tight and technical, yeah, that thing's right with
absolutely.
I think it'll be bringing out the 150 to 160 horsepower, but like
200 horsepower.
Yeah, it'll be you know, using every inch of that, every single one of those ponies. But like I think the thing about it is, and you're absolutely right about the power. I mean, I keep driving these things around, and sometimes I'm driving them, you know, and some of them sound a little different than other ones, and I'm like, it's always making noise. It always seems exciting, but I'm never really going that fast. But then when I go to turn in, you know, I just feel that I've made like a few kind of high speed, sort of quick, like left turns, like making a left onto another street.
Sure.
And it's like, I just get more and more impressed with like, oh, I went like really fast on that. I didn't hit the brakes at all. I just turned in.
Yeah.
And it was flat, compliant, didn't even protest. And I think for me, I think I mentioned this at some point. Part of the reason I'm interested in it is because it does have four seats technically.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, three kids, so we can kind of use it as a car to move kids around in a pinch. And but also I think in general I'm just kind of excited that a car company built such a good platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the chassis engineering on it is so, I think, is just above and beyond where it needs to be. And it's just a great car to learn, you know, what my limits are.
Absolutely.
Get better.
Know,
like just get, you know, practice. And actually really, I think if you really love the art of driving and you want to get better at it, I think it's a perfect canvas for that. So
I think it'd be a very rewarding car. I think it'd be a great car to learn. There's nothing spooky about it. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a very safe car. I think that, car too.
I've always loved driving and I've always loved cars, but I've not owned that many what I would consider like great performance cars. You know, a lot of this has just been stuff I read about and I geek out about.
Yeah.
And but you know, the WRX was the highest performing car I've ever owned.
Yeah.
That was a great car and I miss that car.
Yeah.
But this is a pure sports car.
So
this is a real like driver's tool.
It is. And you could, like our friends on Everyday Driver, the guy, I don't want to call him the long haired guy, Paul and the other guy.
The guy who's not Paul.
Yes, I should know this.
I was actually just listening to their most recent one, and he had to, because they were recommending the 86 to a guy.
Yeah.
This is kind of funny. And we'll wrap this segment up here in a few, but like he was basically saying like, he was listing a whole bunch of cars. He had about a $50,000 budget.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, but I could get one of the 86s, which would leave lots of money left over to make handling, you know, modifications to the car. And they were all just like, if you buy an 86 with a $50,000 budget, you do not need to put any handling modifications on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you where, you know, the rest of the $25,000 could be spent on is supercharging.
Well, and the guy on Everyday Driver, did he do forced induction or did he do like headers and a tune?
But he did headers and a tune, as far as I know, and I don't think he went to any forced
And you know induction what? Maybe then. That's what I would do. Like, but you know what? After you master what you've got.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's...
I think I would drive it extensively. I think I would really kind of bring it out and really know what I can do with it. And then I would do... I think I was thinking about that initially as, like, maybe I would do kind of like a, like, you know, work on all the sort of the breathing apparatus in the car first. But I've gone back and I'm thinking about it.
Maybe when it gets boring, you do that.
I think, yeah, maybe, but like, you know, but I think I would just skip ahead to the, I mean, that car with the WRX engine in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've driven the current WRX, which is the same basic architecture, the 2-liter direct injection, four cylinder engine, but with the turbo on it, making about 265-70 horsepower. I mean, that car with a with a legit 260 horsepower.
Yeah, it would be kind of perfect. I mean, it would be a Cayman almost.
I mean, I think I know guys are getting a lot more out of that engine, and it's apparently the engine block can take tons of horsepower, but I don't think it needs it. I think 250 to 260, I think the thing would be stunning.
Yeah, yeah. So. It's a great car. And like I said, I would much rather really learn. Not that you need any sort of driver education, but any of us.
No, I'll be honest. I would much rather. And we all could benefit from it.
Absolutely.
The best modification you can make to any car is making yourself
100%. And I would rather learn in that car than something that scared me. I think it's a great car and would absolutely encourage and approve buying one.
Yeah.
But I think another one of my takeaways from that is that, again, that the span, the gulf between the cheapest and the most expensive one is so little that you wait till you find the perfect one that's the right color, that's the right condition.
I think
you know, it's money well spent. Interestingly, I was talking to the sales guy, and again, I don't know how often they're, you know, just feeding you lines or whatever, but I said, how many of these do you sell new a year? And he said one. He said they used to always have one new one in stock, the first few years they were out.
Yeah.
But he said being here in Colorado, and this is, hey, we've talked about this with other sports cars, right? Like for the roads that we have here, we should be flooded with sports cars.
Yeah.
And there are some, but they hang out at the Cherry Creek Mall. But as we've talked about before. But
he said
people come in to look. Yeah. He said people will come in to look at it and then walk away with a WRX or an STI. Because the turbo here at altitude makes such a difference. And for about the same price, you can get a WRX. And it's got all-wheel drive and it's got four doors.
The base WRX starts at about 24, 25.
Same as a new BRZ, right?
Yeah, they're in spitting distance of each other.
Yeah. And so I get it, especially when you think of who's buying these cars, younger guys, often single cars. You have one car. I had an A4 because that was sort of the one car that could do a little bit of everything.
When I had my WRX, that's what I kept telling myself too. I had a white hatchback.
Yeah.
Which was that was the gold standard.
Here yeah.
I had a ski rack on the top.
Yeah.
Okay. I had four seats.
Yeah.
It was big enough that four large adults could sit in it. Yeah. I'd done that.
Yeah.
I had a little hatchback area in the back for gear. It was in some ways the perfect Colorado sports activity car.
Right.
I mean, like, it really was. Blasting up to the mountains was fun to go skiing. Right. And then I would still go drive it in the spring, summer, and I'd have a blast in it. And I'll be honest, part of me has been thinking about it. I've been looking at them again.
Yeah.
I've been looking at getting another one like that. I sold mine for artificial reasons, not because I was, like, tired of the car.
Sure.
So I never felt like I never got my closure with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I've since purchased the Sequoia.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, I have the one. If I need to do all that utility stuff, I just do it in that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just want to take the one special car out.
Well.
And then I think so. That's why maybe I might be one of those one people in Colorado that buy the BRZ.
Yeah.
Because I've had the WRX. I don't want to go back and do
that. That's
it.
And that's, I think, the deciding factor. I think if it's a second or third car, go BRZ. But if it's your only car,
it's your one
you
car,
gotta go
it does it all.
WRX.
I mean, it does it all. I mean. Yeah. And what we're going to do, we're going to end here on another cliffhanger. We're going to talk about another car that arguably could do it all.
Okay.
We've talked about the A6 enough. Maybe the audience wants to hear about something else.
Yeah, let's do that.
But I'll talk about a few of the other contenders.
Okay. Okay. Although I have a feeling you're going to end up with an 86, honestly. And because I think that this is the last thing I'll say, but I think that the ease of ownership
yeah,
will add to the joy of ownership.
Yeah.
And much like a Honda or something else, you know, I mean, yeah, there's,
I think you're probably right.
A car
I think
that's broken or in the shop isn't a fun car, right? So this is a, yeah, this would be a smart move.
You don't want to have the fastest cars in the shop. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter.
Right, because you see those fastest cars in the shop at the shop all the time. Yeah. So, all right, we'll be back.
We'll be right back. We are back. As we said, so we basically just gushed about the 86 in our last period there, and we both decided that it's a, you know, maybe it's cliche. It's been said.
Paradox.
It's a great car, but it obviously has one glaring fault. But it's still, that's how good the handling is. That it still is considered a fun car, even with that major problem.
Yeah, so, it's just. Well, we could talk all day about that.
I think we've said that.
But you've got something else up your Nomex sleeve.
Yes, I do. Well, so, and I'd be interested to see what you would think, and I think you should go do this next, especially since you probably have to take your Tiguan in to get a service.
Sometime. Yeah.
Test drive a manual GTI.
Yeah, okay. It's been years, so.
Tell me what you think have you driven, do you think, the most recent
one? No, not the most recent one.
Yeah. The last two, I would argue, based on what
driven I've driven the R, sorry. I've driven the most recent R.
Which I've never driven.
Okay.
I've driven the previous R.
That's right.
And I it was a good car, but the problem I had, I was comparing it to the WRX.
Yeah.
And back then, that R cost as much as the STI, but wasn't as fast as the WRX.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah, you know? It is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because it was close to, like, you know, it was 35,000.
Yeah,
you know,
that's like, a lot of
money for a car that's slower than the WRX.
Yeah.
And the GTI, though, is a revelation. And I think you'll find it that way too.
Okay.
That 200 horsepower, which is, I think it's rated around 220.
Yeah.
I think is what they're rating those at. But it feels closer to 400. I mean, it's
that different.
It's just night and day.
Yeah.
That thing just punches and just keeps punching.
See?
Always in the torque band a lot.
I think, I'm telling you to buy an 86/BRZ/, what's the other name for them?
The Toyota GT86, or the 86.
Yeah, okay, so it's 86 to the BRZ. Yeah. Great, because when it went from Scion to Toyota,
when they closed down Scion and that was one of the two cars brought over to the Toyota fold.
Right. Okay. So they still kept the name. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think personally, now you get away from, especially now that the GTIs are only four doors or whatever. I think there's something still more special about a two door sports car. But I like the GTIs. I was so impressed. Pardon my interruption, but DeLift and what's the other one? Lyft and Uber. Do they appreciate like the potential that they have as sort of like sales influencers or? You know, now granted, 9 times out of 10, you're in like a rental Nissan Versa or something.
Yeah.
But you know.
I feel like, there's probably a lot. You're in a lot of various different anonymous crossovers.
Right. I would totally do product placement with, like, Lyft or Uber.
Well, I know, for example, like, I think these programs have ended, but, like, for a long time here in Denver, they were practically willing to, you know, buy or pay for the car for you to drive around.
Yeah.
They were trying to get drivers here.
Okay.
And so, everyone was in, like, brand new, you know, mid-level stuff, but brand
that's
new
changed.
Cars, basically,
Well, don't you remember too that like a car could only be, I think it was like 7 years old or 4 years old for a while. And now you should see some of the jalopies that have been picked up, and again, the GTI was like, I felt like it glowed when it rolled up here. You know, well, in fact, it wasn't even that. I saw, you know, it said, you know, so and so is picking you up, and it was a Dodge Caliber or something like awful. And then three seconds later, apparently that guy. Fell off the face of the earth.
So is the GTI the most interesting car you've ever gotten picked up with in one of these ride-sharing programs? Because I know what mine was.
Yeah. Okay, so I think, I got picked up in a Jaguar XJ one time, me and some guys were out one night and piled into it. I think it was like Halloween night or New Year's Eve or something. It was a year or two ago. And probably the last time I went out. our buddy Justin and a couple of the neighbors. But I remember getting picked up in a Jaguar XJ.
I think I've ridden around in a Jaguar XJ.
Yeah.
Or a Jaguar XF.
It was an XF. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, because it was the sedan.
Yeah.
Of course. Also got a ride in the previous generation, some friends when I was in Louisville, unrelated to work, Range Rover Sport. The previous generation. And I was really impressed. been in a couple of those recently, how solid and just nice feeling those were, but another conversation. Yes, I think the GTI, short of the Jaguar, the GTI was the nicest. I do always have to tell my story. Back in the day, I lived in Chicago, and lived in Chicago for a long time, and this was when the heyday of the Caprices and the Crown Vic taxi cabs, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And every once in a while, you get something random. I mean, you'd always get excited if you got, like, the old Crown Vic, like the real boxy one or whatever, or, you know, some other random, you know. Now they're all Camrys and Explorers and you know, a few Crown Vics, I guess, still.
Taxi cabs.
Right, right. Well, in a place like Chicago, I feel like it's still pretty common, but although the, you know, that's another conversation too about how the taxi medallions used to be like $1 million, and people would leverage their homes. And even Chicago, I think they were
like an asset. Yeah, you could buy and hold, and you know.
And now they're worth too. You know, it was 800,000 is now 80,000 or whatever. But anyway, but I remember back in the day how excited I was when I got picked up in an Impala SS. It was a yellow cab. And now back in the day, there were two big companies that you'd see 80% of the time in Chicago. There was Checker, which had sort of these pale yellow and green, you know, cabs, which I always liked. But then the other one was yellow, and there was a yellow cab, and they were yellow. And I got picked up, and it didn't look that different from the Caprices, but it was a legitimate Impala SS cab.
Really?
Fully, like, marked with the light on top and everything.
And yellow, painted yellow.
And painted yellow. It was the coolest thing ever. But for Lyft and, you know, talking 2020, Lyft or Uber, no, that GTI was as cool as anything. What about you?
Well, I got picked up in a late model WRX.
Kidding.
That was the most interesting thing.
And was it a manual?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
They do make an automatic, right? It's a CVT right?
The current WRX is available with a CVT on it, yeah, which is interesting. My generation WRX was not. My generation was only available with a manual.
Only manual. Okay. But so you didn't have an automatic. Okay.
Earlier WRXs, though, did have an automatic.
Okay. Oh, but your generation didn't. That's really
so
interesting.
Yeah, so in the United States, there's been like kind of three phases of WRXs.
Yeah.
First one went through a couple of facelifts, but you can consider 02 to 06 is 02 to 07, 2001 to 07.
Okay.
First generation.
The second bug
generation.
Eye.
Bug eye for 2 years, blob eye for 2 years, right, the eagle eye for, but it's all the same. That's the same WRX.
I see. Okay.
They did have automatics of those.
Interesting.
And so every time I'm looking at those old ones, which I still do, and you see one and it's like, oh, that's a good deal. That's low mileage.
And it's exceptionally nice looking at.
Automatic, that's click it out. My generation, which was 2008, then heavily modified from 2009 to 2014, all manuals.
Yeah, interesting.
And then they brought the CVT back for the current one.
Did you see, what was the car I just, not to change topics, but the car I just saw, the new, it's not the CTS-V, it's now like the CT5-V or something.
Cadillac.
The new Cadillac has been confirmed with a manual, so
kudos
to, it's funny, I think the power's actually come down. It was like 500 horsepower, now it's like 420 or something, but it'll still be a great car. It was really heartening to see.
I've liked the model.
Well, Porsche knew what they were doing when they decided that they were going to buck the trend, and those are the models they can't, you know?
I mean, it's like they sell PDKs and automatics, like, new in the showroom, but, like, the aftermarket, like, or the secondhand market, it's like those cars just, like, hold their
value. No, and it used to be that manuals are cheaper. Now I feel like they're not any cheaper.
Yeah, no, you don't get the benefit usually.
Yeah,
especially on a, well, I mean, in the Porsche world, it's tough because that PDK is so damn good.
It is. It is
faster.
It is, but I mean,
it's not as engaging.
It's not the same.
And to
our listeners, you may, not only have we been talking about Toyota 86s or BRZs for Doug forever, but you may remember that I was pretty close for a while, pretty close to buying a GT4.
I bet you're still very carefully looking at the spec.
I would love one. I would love one.
Have you moved on? Do you think? We have a new topic.
My current car has. It's like the longer I have it, the more I like
it. You're falling back in love with it again.
It's a great car. It's great. Yeah. Now, no, don't get me wrong. I would take the GT4 in an instant. And not just the new one that I've had my eye on for a while, but the previous one.
Yeah.
The 981. the prices have not come down enough to make it worth it.
Where have they fallen to an average? I mean, obviously the different ones are different.
I think they're, last time I looked,
lower mileage one that you feel comfortable
with. High 70s, low 80s.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not, is it going to be, you know, almost twice as enjoyable as my car? You know, is it worth a payment that's, you know, 70% more than what I'm paying? I don't think so. And I bought my car new. I know that it's never hit a big pothole. I know that that car's never, you know, been scraped underneath. I know that car. I know that it's had every maintenance.
Wasn't it involved with a flat front end?
Yes, the aforementioned rental 450 horsepower, 460 horsepower Mustang. Yes, during the middle of a hailstorm in my haste, I did tap the bumper of my Cayman. And
it was a very low speed.
Yes, there's sort of a fingernail, thumbnail-shaped little crescent depression, which I notice every time I open and close.
I wish we could all show you what this looks like. Only Ryan can really find this dent on the front.
It's all I can see.
But he did, he's died a little bit on the inside. And we all understand that.
Yeah, it's my. Hey, you know, at least I hit it with that and not, you know, a Kia or something, right? I mean, now it would be better. Now, if it had been hit with a Ferrari 488 or something, I would refer to it as a Kiss. But this felt like coming from a Mustang 500. Kind of felt like a flick behind the ear.
Yeah,
you know, wasn't quite affectionate.
It was kind of like the big bully picking on.
That's right. Hey, who's faster down that canyon road though?
That's right.
Anyway. Well, the GTI.
I was going to say, we've got a big field here of topic, but that's interesting. Well, we may have to come back. Well, we've got a few minutes.
Let me close out
the thoughts on the GT4. I don't know if you've been reading the reviews about the 4-liter.
See,
I think that's going to further depress the price on those GT4s. So, don't you think?
It's tough. I think it's going to depress the price on especially the 4-cylinder GTSs. Yeah. I think that the base and the S cars, you know, like mine, I think are a little removed from that.
But I think it's going to depress the value of those first GT4s even further. I think.
We'll see. They don't have the look, and that look is part of the GT thing, right? Like the wing and the front air dam.
Yeah.
You know, the 4.0 looks just like my car with the 4-cylinder. Look just like the S. The base and the S will continue on with the 4-cylinder. Probably really aren't that much slower, but especially at altitude. But it's supposed to be a beautiful car. But I think if you're going to spend $90,000 or $95,000, whatever those cost, spend the $100,000 and get the GT4, and you get it's that whole idea we talked about the engine slightly detuned. Yes, are you going to feel it? No, but just the idea, and then you get the full body kit, and
it's irrational, but yeah.
Well, the GTs are going to hold their value better, I think, in the long term. I really do. But I hate to say it because I own one, a base, but they look, even the wheel, you know, you get the same wheels as I have or whatever. So it's like, if that's what you're into, for me, if I was going to make the jump, I wouldn't stop there. I would just go all the way. But apparently they're amazing and excellent, and you know, and maybe they're a little more under the radar or whatever. You don't have the big wing and all that. But
for me, I prefer no wing, so that's why I guess if I was doing it, I would play.
Yeah,
I would even choose this.
Okay, so if they were truly in the mold of like a GT3 touring, and I assume there will be a GT4 touring. So at least give me that front air dam that looks cool for the GT4.
Porsche will not stop until 17 different versions. Absolutely,
and they're only going to sell, you know, 60 of each one apparently because they Caymans. Back to the GTI. So I think I'd have to drive them back to back, but to me at altitude where turbo motor and my familiarity with Volkswagen and the dealership and all that, and I might be the GTI guy.
I came out of the GTI like as a revelation thing.
Yeah.
Why not this car?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just fun. I loved it. The one I drove had those cool tartan, cloth seats, which I love.
That's pretty sweet.
Traditional manual transmission.
And the interior of that car is way more my speed than the 86 with some of the red stitching if I got the 86, I'd have to go plain as can be.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, in the GTI, I would have to have the plaid.
Yeah. No, I told the guy too. I was like, call me up if you find more. Or maybe the one I drove didn't have the plaid. I may have had the leather, but I had the manual seats. But I really, if I was going to do this, I would only want the plaid seats.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds weird, but that's what I would want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a grown up car on the inside.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like you feel like you're driving like a grown up's car. It's a grown up car on the outside.
I mean,
it's still a Golf, but it's like, it's very understated.
Yeah.
It's high quality. You know, it's German.
We need the Scirocco because that has the two door, has the sports car looks, the sports car feel, but all the mechanicals of the.
Of the
GTI. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we never got the recent Scirocco.
No, and it's very. It's quite an attractive vehicle too, from the pictures I've seen. But
I think I heard it summed up somewhere where someone said it does everything great. It hits all the averages, but it's not average. It's a great all rounder. However you want to phrase it, I mean it is because it's four doors.
Yeah,
and they're probably very big seats in the back.
Did you cry a little when they got rid of the two door for this generation?
Not particularly, but I don't know. I mean, if I was going to get that, I guess I would just get the four door.
Because
it's like I might as well just have.
I just thought the four door actually kind of looked better.
I think it looks more balanced in some ways.
Because it wasn't a coupe; it was a two door sedan.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's just if I don't know, some cars I just think look better as a four door. But with saying all that, and it was so nice.
M3.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel a little bit like, is it too close to what I had before?
I know.
Is it? I mean, it's ironic because it's front wheel drive, which should be the kiss of death right off the bat. But you almost forget about that right away. When you're It'll always be it'll be in my head that it's front wheel drive.
Yeah.
It'll be in my head that like it's at best it's just working really hard to not understeer.
Yeah.
But it naturally wants to do that.
If it were a second car, I'd go GTI. A third car, I think I would do the 86.
Yeah, like if we had like one car that like.
Well, you've got the LX 470, not the LX. What is that? The GX
470.
And you've got the Sequoia, which are quite similar, but if you're planning on keeping both of those, I'd probably do the 86. If you're planning on getting rid of one, I'd get the GTI. Because you're not gonna, you can drive the GTI in the winter if you had to.
Yeah.
You can't drive that 86.
You shouldn't. No.
No.
My neighbor up the street daily is in a Miata every single year on studded sometimes.
Yeah. It's not. Yes, you can, but no, you shouldn't.
Yeah. But I know where he works. It's nearby, so he doesn't have to go very far. But it's a compelling package, and you're absolutely right. That's the calculation. If it was the one car I had, or one or two, you have to get that one.
Yeah,
and you'd be okay with it. The thing is, I would still get excited about going out and driving it every time.
Oh, absolutely! It's we've talked about this before. I had a B7, so 2008. This is many years ago now, but S4.
Yeah.
And it was a great car, but it wasn't the sports car that I wanted it to be. I loved driving it day to day. I loved high speeds on the highway. It was great in weather, but. But it was so nice, I didn't want to take it out in the weather. And it had so much understeer and so much push. And it was so heavy. Now, I know an S4 with the big V8 over the front, in front of the front axle is not a GTI, but it has that solidity and it has that, and it just never quite scratched that sports car itch. So,
yeah.
And the BRZ, I want you to buy the 86.
I mean, the BRZ with its flaws is a true sports
car. Yeah, but I don't know if I would buy it myself. Like, I want you to buy it, and I want to ride in it, and I want to drive it, and I want to fling it around.
Yeah.
But I might have one more check in the GTI box for myself.
Yeah.
But again, is this a third car? Is it a second car? I mean, we have two cars. I shouldn't have a Cayman. I should have a GTI, or I should have a Ford or M3 or something, you know? Yeah. But to me, that's my therapy. That's my...
Yeah.
I'll make that sacrifice. My wife is good enough to put up with me. Yeah. So like we can, carpool
if one of us needs the... You have one beautiful daughter.
Well, that
one child,
that's and it's like too.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah,
I accidentally went to three children.
It happens.
I don't know if our audience knows, but I have a 4.5-year-old daughter, and then we unexpectedly without any help whatsoever. Just
and they're all amazing. And
had twins, so we went to three kids.
And they're going to be F1 drivers too, all three of them. So
yeah. Part of me also, I like the idea of they keep calling it, you know, the 86 twins. I kind of want to get a twin car. Just to, as like pay homage to my twins as well.
Oh right,
yeah. Which means I have to get a. So in my mind, that means I want to get like a kind of want to get an 86 and just hold on to it. And
yeah.
Get either a Porsche or a Cayman, which is another twin.
Yeah.
You know, that like a twin of a car that they also make. You know, so that's just stupid though. I don't know, as I say,
I'm not sure I'm following, but it's like.
Well, they're like twin cars. Like there's like a twin. The FRS and the BRZ
I see.
Twin
okay.
cars. And
you're talking about the Cayman Boxster.
Cayman Boxster. I see. I would argue okay. are kind of like, they're fraternal twins.
Right.
Is what I have. So
right.
they're not
okay.
identical.
Okay.
They right. look similar now.
Yeah. Right. And you can get a customized license plate that says twins with a Z or
something.
And
like that.
No one will get it but you, but
yeah.
kept.
Yeah. No, you're
you be
right.
you.
Yeah.
You do your thing. That's you run with that.
No, I'm a weirdo, as it turns out.
I just want you to get one. I don't care what it is. Like,
no. Yeah, so it's in my head, so I think, like, yeah, I should get an FRS, and then I should get a BRZ, and then one day I'll give them to my twins, but who knows? Like,
let's start with a nice wristwatch.
How about I just get one car that I can drive for now? Like, I'm trying to buy cars for my children, and they can't even drive
so,
for 12 years.
In summary, where are you? Like, what?
I'm like 89.
Spring is right around the corner.
I'm 89. It's to me, it's all about financing and getting the right, getting the numbers to match up, which is always the story. As soon as we can do it, we're buying a second car, a third car. And it's likely going to be an 86.
Yeah, cool. I approve that decision.
Yeah, I've got my wife, my significant other is on board.
Yeah,
and she's okay with it because it's technically got the four seats.
Yes,
and it will be like a little bit of a runabout. And we can at least go drop off at least
two
daughters or one daughter at their various schools.
Don't be like me when my daughter's sick and I have to stick. I'm out for a drive and I've got to stick her in the front seat and tell her duck when the popo drives by. then I remember she's unnaturally tall for her age and no one would probably care.
They'll probably never care. Yeah, you're not supposed to put a. I just realized this recently. You're not supposed to have a child up in the front
seat. Yeah, you know, I got dirty looks when I put her in the frunk. So it's
they didn't like that either. No, what the hell? What do they want?
It's.
What do you people want? She's very safe in there.
It's hard being me, man. Well, this is a good one. Who knows what will happen by the time we reconvene?
It probably won't happen that quickly, but I think it might be it might be closer than it's ever been. I don't know.
A little birdie told me too that we may have some new Toyota Supra content to talk about. So
well, that's what we're hoping.
That's the plan. So
stay tuned for that. Let's see if we can convince Ryan to get completely off of a Porsche and into a Toyota, basically.
Yeah, that's all I need.
We've gotten one step closer. You're driving one product and you like it.
Fortunately, it has no manual, so they're.
Well, who knows? Maybe
you never know. It could be amazing. All right. Until next time.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.